Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today we are concluding our series, Lyrically Speaking. And before we get into the song, I wanted to give a shout out to our band and specifically to two of our staff members. This is a series that asks a little extra of our band and two of our staff members, Lane and Jason, who oversee all the production side and oversee the band. They've put in a lot of extra time to do this. And here's something that I just want to go on record as saying. The size of the church does not ultimately matter, but our band is way better than the size of our church. Like, we are really blessed to have this band. And I really hope that you will never take them for granted. The talent that is up here is just, it's incredible. So wanted to give a shout out to them and say thank you for them. And I hope that you've enjoyed this series. It's an annual series that we do. And this is the final week of the series. And for the final week, we gave you an opportunity to vote on the song. So if you do not like today's song and you did not vote, you cannot complain. It's your fault. You didn't participate. If you did vote and we did not choose your song, don't get upset, don't get mad, just know, stay patient, because next year we'll do this series again and you'll have another chance. In fact, the song that we did on week two of this series, I literally nominated it for 5 years in a row. I got rejected 5 years in a row before we finally did that song. So if you just stay patient and you keep plugging away, eventually the song that you want, it may get chosen for this series. Today's song, the final song that won the vote, is a song by my favorite band, Need to Breathe. The song is titled, Who Am I? And I have a fun little story about the band Need to Breathe. Whether you're familiar with them or not, I think you'll appreciate this story. And if you've been at Next Level for a time, maybe you've heard me tell this. I think it's a story worth repeating because it's just kind of funny. Years ago, before Need to Breathe was a headlining band, they opened for a lot of other big bands. They opened for like Tim McGraw, Taylor Swift, Train, a whole bunch of other bands. And when they were opening for Train, they came to the Portsmouth Amphitheater. And so my wife and I and our friend went to go see them. And we were there for Need to Breathe. We were not there for Train. Train's a fine band, but we were there specifically to see Need to Breathe. So Need to Breathe does the opening set. And when they get done and Train comes on, I lean over to my wife and to my friend and I say, I bet you Need to Breathe is hanging out somewhere in this stadium, because no one knows who they are. No one came for them. Everyone came for Train. I bet we can find them. And so we get up from our seats and just start wandering around the stadium, and we find one of the members of Need to Breathe. And I find him, and I ask, I say, hey, I don't want to interrupt. I know you're watching Train. He's like, no, that's cool. Whatever. And so we start talking to him, and I got to take my picture. My wife got her picture, and our friend got her picture. This is who we met, the very first one. So that's one of the founding members of Need to Breathe. But this is where the story gets interesting, because as we were talking to him, some girls from up above saw kind of the commotion, saw that we were talking to him, and they came down and they met him and they gave him a hug, and then they went to my friend Jamie and they tried to give him a hug, and he's like, no, that's weird. But they came to me and I figured out what was going on. These girls thought that me and Jamie were in the band. They thought we were with him. So I just start hugging him, and then this creates more commotion, and literally another group of teenagers comes down, and this group has cameras and pens and paper, and they start asking for an autograph. So I just start signing autographs. We have a picture. There are literally people in America who have Rob Shep autographed on all sorts of merchandise. So that's a fun story about my favorite band. I've been following them for a really long time. And a couple years ago, they put out an album that has one of my favorite songs that they've ever done. It is a powerful song with some incredible lyrics. And it actually was a decent hit for them. It reached number 14 on the Hot Alternative charts. And so without further ado, would you help me welcome the Next Level Band as they cover Need to Breathe, Who Am I? Oh,
should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hands. Last night, in the confidence of shame, and my wounds in my past were saying, no one should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, take my hand somehow. You really love who I really am. I push you. I'm a train wreck, I'm a mess. You see the best and the worst in me. Still I can't imagine that I've earned your trust. I don't understand where your love comes from.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
Truly loved by you.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
Truly loved by you.
Oh my, oh my.
Standing O, well done, well done. That's right. Well, let's look at the lyrics to see what we can learn about faith and about ultimately about God. The first verse starts off by saying, "What white lies and desperation, hard times and conversation. No one should ever love me like you do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions. No one should ever love me like you do." The lead singer of Need to Breathe, his name is Bear Reinhart, and he has admitted to being a perfectionist. And I don't know if any of you are perfectionists, but when you have a perfectionist mindset, what it leads you to believe is that when you do what's right, you have worth and you're worthy of love. But when you make mistakes, it makes you think that you're not worthy to be loved. And he has wrestled with that a lot because he understands that he's not a perfect person and he's made lots of mistakes. And yet when he looks out at the grace and the love of God, he is blown away that God would love him through all of the mistakes that he's made. And what he is saying is that his bad decisions have led him to believe at times that God can't love him. But he says that's a white lie. It's a lie that he tells himself, that God can't love him because he's made some mistakes. But then he goes on to say that while I'm on this road, this is the second part of the verse, you take my hand, somehow you really love who I really am. I push you away so you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. That last lyric is one of my all-time favorite lyrics. I love this idea, and I love it because I can relate to it so much. While I'm on this road, what's the road? The road of self-doubt. The road that I'm not worthy of love, the thought that I'm not good enough, That is the road that he is on. And as he's on that road, he paints this picture that God comes alongside him and says, hey, I love you through all of it. And that love, because he is negative about his own vision of himself, he wants to push God away. And he's like, no, it's impossible. There's no way you can love me. And as he stiff arms God, God reaches out and says, I won't let go of you. I love this idea. And that lyric, I push you away so you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. And that leads to the chorus. The chorus is simple. It says, who am I, who am I, who am I to be loved by you? In a radio interview, Need to Breathe lead singer Bear, he had this to say about the song. He said, probably the biggest and most constant struggle I have in my life is being able to accept love. At some place in my core, it's hard for me to believe that I'm ever worthy of it and somehow deserve it. Who Am I is a song about the fight to accept, embrace, and trust that the greatest love requires nothing in return. And if you have ever been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, I think you will lead to a very similar question of who am I? Because as humans, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we have flaws. We know that we have issues. We know that we have struggles. And yet when you get to know God, you see that God doesn't have struggles, that God is perfect, that God has never stumbled, he's never sinned, he's never made a mistake, that God is holy. So when an imperfect person gets in the presence of God, we want to push him away and we say, I don't deserve to be here. And yet God welcomes us in anyway. And this question of who am I, it is actually very reminiscent of something that is in the Old Testament part of the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but we actually have a whole chapter of the Bible that is nothing but songs. We call them psalms, and we don't have the melody, we don't have the chorus, we don't know how the songs go. We just have the song lyrics. And in one of the songs that King David wrote, King David was one of the greatest kings in Israel's history, and he had a heart for God. He was also a worship leader. And one day he has an encounter with God, and his encounter with God leads him to ask a very similar question to who am I? And that's what we're going to look at today. And at Next Level, we honor the scriptures. The way that we do that is by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud Psalm 8:4. Now the reference Psalm 8:4, you'll see two dots between the 8 and the 4. And we like to have a little bit of fun, especially at this hour when we're not quite awake. We do this thing where we just pump our fists at those dots. We say dot, dot. And it just helps us. It just helps wake us up. It's better than a good cup of coffee with lots of creamer. So if you want to participate in that, feel free to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Psalm 8, dot, dot, 4. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads? And I want to give you a moment just to talk to the God of the universe. I don't know if you feel close to him or you feel far away, but I want you to know that God loves you and he cares for you. And so I want to give you a short, quick prayer to pray to him. And the prayer is simply this. God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend just a few seconds quietly praying that prayer to God in your heart? And God, that's our prayer. We ask and we invite you to speak to us in a personal way. But when you speak, we often become scared. So would you give us the courage to obey you? Would you give us the courage to do what we don't want to do? Because we know that ultimately you have our best interests in mind. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So knowing who you are is incredibly important. Human beings are wired to wonder, who am I? In the grand scheme of life, who am I? Do I matter? Do I have worth? Am I worthy of praise? Am I worthy of acceptance? It is a question that all human beings wrestle with. And if you don't know who you are, you will find your identity in something else. And oftentimes, we find our identity in what we can do. So a lot of people will find their identity in their job because they think, I've done this myself, I've worked hard myself, and so their identity becomes in their job. So when someone asks who you are, you define yourself by saying, I am this, and you list your job. Some people find their identity in their family. And so maybe they say, when someone says, who are you? You'd say, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a brother, sister, I'm a child. Like, you view yourself through your family. It's an easy thing to form your identity. And some people form their identity in their politics and who they vote for. And if they get their way, they feel good because they voted for the team that won. And there's people who have their identity in that. The problem with putting your identity in any of these things, though, is that they can go away. And if your identity is in your job, but then you lose your job or your gifts change and you no longer can work your job, then you start to wonder, well, who am I? If I can't work, do I have any worth? If your identity is in your family, but the circumstances of your family changes, someone passes away, someone moves on, your identity is crushed because you found your identity in something that has potential to change. And the song, Who Am I, is really wrestling with this idea that ultimately our identity should be in God. Because God doesn't change, and God doesn't go away. And even when our circumstances change, and they're no longer what we wanted them to be, we can still have a strong identity because of who we are in God. And we're going to see this through our scripture, and specifically, we're going to see two things that we can find in our identity of who we are through God. But before we get there, I want to start at the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 8:1. This is King David, and he writes, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. So this is a picture of King David. One night he walks out of his castle and he is looking up at the skies and he can just see stars. He sees the heavens and he is blown away with how big and how amazing God is. Now before we move on, I need to give a little bit of disclaimer because we're going to talk a little bit about nature. And if you've been at Next Level for a little while, you know that I'm not a fan of nature. In fact, I think nature's trying to kill us. When I walk outside, I'm constantly being attacked by cancer death rays that are known as the sun that are trying to burn me. I'm attacked by bugs, poison ivy. There are snakes outside. Yeah, you can clap for that. A few weeks ago, our discipleship pastor, Eric, he went camping by choice. I don't need that type of negativity in my life. Like, I do not have enough vacation days to pretend to be homeless for the weekend. Like, I am what you would call indoorsy. I like what comedian Jim Gaffigan says. He says, if the great outdoors is so great, how come all the bugs are trying to get into my house? That's a great point. I am not a fan. I am not a fan of the outdoors. And I know a lot of people are, and that's okay. We don't have to like the same things to be friends. But very often when I talk about how indoorsy I am, people will try to convince me and they'll say, but yeah, but haven't you been camping and haven't you been in the great outdoors? It's so amazing. And whenever someone starts to convince me, I reply the same way. And the way that I reply is, have you ever been inside? It's amazing. Like, have you ever controlled the thermostat? Like, it's glorious. Have you ever sat in a reclining chair? Like, why would you want to leave that? I feel the presence of God in my recliner. So, I am not a big fan of nature, but David actually experiences God's presence in nature, and I can respect it. Because David, when he goes outside and he looks up and he sees all of the stars, it makes him feel incredibly small. And he looks up and he sees the heavens and they just go on forever. And he's like, God, you created all of this. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. You've created every star. You've created everything that I can see with my eyes. You are so big. You created these amazing galaxies for us to enjoy. Ralph Waldo Emerson was an American poet in the 1800s, and he said this, what would we do if the stars only came out once every 1,000 years? I think that's a very interesting question. What would we do if the stars only came out once every 1,000 years? I honestly am not a big fan of being outside, but when I was in college, I stayed on the weekends at a farm in Farmville, and it was a family that I stayed with, and because it was in a farm, it wasn't around any city lights. And the stars just hit different when you're not around a town or a city. It's just amazing to see. And anytime I would pull up at nighttime, I would stand outside of my car for a good 2 to 3 minutes. It was about all I could take outside. But I would stand out for a couple minutes, and I would just look up at the sky, and I could see shooting stars. I could find the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. You could just see the skies, and it just would lead you to say, like, God, you are incredible. Like, you created all of this. You are such an amazing designer. Where author Paul Hawken, he observed about if the stars only came out once every 1,000 years, he said no one would sleep that night, of course. We would be ecstatic, delirious, mad, rapturous by the glory of God. Instead, the stars come out every night and we watch television. I think that's a fascinating point, that David is brought into the presence of God because he's looking at God's creation and he's saying, oh my goodness, who am I? Because you have created all these stars. God, you are so big. You've created everything that I can see. You've created the galaxies. And nature is something that is actually supposed to point us back to the Creator. The Apostle Paul, he came along hundreds of years after David, and he wrote in the New Testament, and he talked about how nature actually is supposed to point us back to God. In Romans 1:20, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." What Paul is saying is that even if someone has never heard the name of Jesus, they should be able to look outside and say, there is a creator. Someone had to create all of this. Even if someone has never heard the name of Jesus, even if someone has never heard the Bible, they should be able to walk outside and say, some designer had to create this. But Paul goes on to say that instead of appreciating God, people turn to idols. They turn to worship things that they created with their own hands. And it's so true that that's how we are such selfish creatures, that we can look at God's creation and instead of admiring him, we turn the attention back to ourselves. Sir Isaac Newton was a famous scientist and a believer in God. And he had a friend who did not believe in God. And his friend was very passionate about it. And they would often have conversations about the creation of the world. And his friend, because he didn't believe in God, he couldn't wrap his mind around why a God would create the earth. And he was holding on to the fact that it was just created by accident. And no matter what Sir Isaac Newton would say, his friend just would kind of scoff at him, kind of laugh at him, and belittle his beliefs that he would believe in a God that he cannot see. So one day, Sir Isaac Newton goes to a carpentry store, and he asks them to build an exact replica of the solar system. And the carpenter agrees to it, and he pays him for his work. And after a few weeks, the solar system is built out of wood, and Sir Isaac Newton comes, and he gathers this wood display of the solar system, and he brings it home, and he puts it on his table in his living room. And one day, his friend, who does not believe in God, comes for a visit, and he immediately sees the solar system on his table, and he says, "That is amazing. Oh, my goodness, where did you get this from? Who made this?" And Sir Isaac Newton said, "No one. It just appeared." And his friend laughed and said, "No, come on, stop playing with me. Like, seriously, who made it?" But Sir Isaac Newton stood his ground. And he's like, "I'm telling you, I don't know. It just appeared." And his friend gets angry at him at this point, and he says, "It's not possible. Things just don't appear." To that, Sir Isaac Newton said, "If I cannot convince you that this crude replica of the solar system had just happened by accident, how could you believe that the real solar system, with all its complexity and design, appeared just by time and by chance?" And it was a fascinating point that if we're going to believe that the things that we create with our hands had to have a creator, why would we not believe that the stars and the moon and the sun and the solar systems had to have a creator? Creation always requires a creator, and the stars are crying out to us to acknowledge the glory of God. When we see the stars, it should lead us to say, "God, you are good. You've created this. You are big. You are way bigger than me. You are the creator, and I am the creation." So David, looking out under the stars, he has this moment with God, and then he writes our theme verse, Psalm 8:3-4. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." There's some words underlined. Would you humor me and just read these words? "What is mankind that you are mindful of them?" Now we're going to stop there. We'll get to the next part in just a moment. But from this verse, we get two things that help define who we are. And these are things that should help us form our identity. That these are things that won't go away. These are things that won't change. Even if our circumstances change, if we hold on to these truths, we will know who we are and our identity will be found in God. And so the first one, David says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? And that leads us to who am I? Number one, I am created by God. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write that down or feel free to take a picture of the screen. I would wait to take a picture till I give you the second one, but feel free to take a picture of the screen to help you remember that. Who am I? I am created by God. When David looks up at the stars and he looks up at the heavens, he is blown away that a creator has created all of that. And then it dawns on him, the same creator who created these stars hand-knit me. He created me. He put me together. I'm not here by accident. I'm not here just by a whoopsie-daisy. I'm here for a purpose and on purpose. And you are not an accident. You were not created just by happenstance. You were created on purpose and for a purpose. And when you realize that God is the center of the universe and that God knows your name, it makes a difference in how you live. Pastor Louis Giglio says, God calls each and every star by name. It's not likely he has forgotten yours. I would say it's definitely not likely that he has forgotten yours. When you realize that you were created by the God of the universe, it gives you a reason to wake up. When you realize that you were created by the God of the universe, it gives you a purpose that is so much stronger than the pain that you may be going through. When you realize that God created you to do something more than just exist, it gives you a reason to wake up on Monday morning. You weren't created just to go to a 9-to-5 job and just to exist for Fridays. You weren't created just to go from one event to another and just watch your life pass away. You were created for the glory of God. You were created to shine bright like a star in the universe. So David says he compares himself to the stars, to the moon, which God has set in place. And then he gets to the second part of the verse, Psalm 8, 3 through 4. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? That's the first part. The second part is underlined. Would you humor me once again and just read this part with me? It says, human beings, that you care for them. So while David is looking at the stars, he sees just how small he is, and he declares, who are we that you would care for us? That's an amazing question. And when you think about it, that God has created the stars, he's created the moon, he's created the sun. And can I just tell you that those things give God a lot less trouble than we do? Like, the stars aren't disobeying God. The moon does its job every night. Like, it's not like the moon one night is just like, you know, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like serving you, God. I'm not going to shine bright for you. Like, creation just does its job. It falls in order. But yet we as humans, the highest level of God's creation, we so often deny God. We don't want to serve God. We don't want to spend time with God. But when David is looking at the stars, he sees how small he is. And he says, I cannot believe that I am not only known by you, but I am cared for by you. Who am I? Number one, I am created by God. Number two, I am cared for by God. So often, especially as Americans, we base our opinion of God on our circumstances. And so if life is going good, we feel like, okay, God, you love me, you care for me. But when life goes bad or it doesn't go our way, we start to question, God, can you really be good? Like, I'm not getting what I want right now, or I'm going through a difficult circumstance. God, do you really care for me? But here's what we miss when we have that mindset. We miss the fact that Jesus promised us that in this world we will have trouble. This is a broken world that we live in. And we miss the fact that trouble does not prove or disprove God. Trouble is something we all go through. What having a relationship with God lets us do is it lets us tap into the power of God so that when we struggle, we realize just how cared for we are by God. When you are going through a difficult season, you may be tempted to stiff-arm God and push God away, but like the song says, I push you away, but you won't let go. You can try to get rid of God. You can try to push God away, but God is not going to let go of you. In fact, Jesus said in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So when we go through difficult circumstances, it's easy, it's human to say, well, God, you must not love me because I'm going through this difficult circumstance. But I would challenge you, encourage you to get outside of your house, get outside of your mind and look up at the stars and say, God, if you created and you care for all of these stars, how much more do you care for me? And yes, I'm struggling. Yes, it's a hard season. Yes, I'm going through difficulties. But God, I thank you that you care for me. You're going to help me get through this. Pastor Rick Warren wrote the number one best-selling nonfiction book of all time called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in it, he says, why did God do all of this? Why did he bother to go to all the trouble of creating a universe for us? Because he is a God of love. The kind of love is difficult to fathom, but it's fundamentally reliable. You were created as a special object of God's love. God made you so he could love you. This is a truth to build your life on. When you understand that you were created for God's purpose and God's glory and that God loves you, it changes everything. Because when you don't have self-worth in yourself, you can find your self-worth in God. And when you see your own failures and you've seen how you've messed up and you are wallowing in your self-pity and self-doubt and you are saying, I'm not good enough, I don't matter, the God of the universe says you do matter because I created you. While I'm on this road, you take my hand. Somehow you really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. Life is incredibly tough, and it's tough for all of us. But it becomes a lot more simple and a lot less complicated when we have God as a part of it. When we realize that we were created on purpose, for purpose, and we find our identity in him, we see how he is holding us in the midst of difficult circumstances. The God of the universe won't let go of you. Here's the truth of something that I've shared multiple times on social media. I've given Jesus a billion reasons to stop loving me, but none of them changed his mind. God doesn't love me because I'm perfect, and I don't know who I'm speaking to, but if you are a perfectionist, you need to get this through your head because you think you are only worthy of love when you do what is right, and you know that you are a sinful person and that you've made so many mistakes, so it's difficult for you to understand how can anyone love you for who you really are, and you can give Jesus infinity reasons to stop loving you, but none of them are going to change his mind. The God of the universe loves you. Because he created you, who am I to be loved by you? Who am I that you would know my name? Who am I that you would care about my life? You know, a lot of times people of faith struggle with praying and they say, I don't really know how to pray. I don't really know what to pray. But when you know who you are in God, it leads you to pray to the God of the universe because God cares for you. So you're not worried about, can I say something wrong to God? God wants to know what's going on in your life. God wants you to rely on him. God wants you from time to time to get outside of your house and look up into the heavens and just say, God, this is what's going on in my life. God, I know you see it. Even simple things, things that you don't think matter. I remember one time we went to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and I had just bought a brand new pair of sunglasses. And I was out in the water, and like we had just got in for about 5 minutes, and a wave came out of nowhere. It's why I hate nature. And it knocked me down. And it knocked my new glasses off. And the waves were so big. Everyone that was with me was like, they're gone. You're going to have to buy a new pair. And I was like, but I just bought them. I just spent money. I don't want to lose these glasses. So you know what I did? This is going to sound crazy to some of you. I was like, God, I know in the infinite wisdom in the grand structure of this world, I know there are so many more problems than my sunglasses. I know there's like kids starving and like there's people being sex trafficked, and I know there's a lot of really big problems, but right now, will you help me find my glasses? I literally prayed that, and you know what? A couple minutes later, I found my glasses. True story. True story. But why not? Why wouldn't we bring God those things? Why wouldn't we bring, if we really understood who we are, we would know that God cares about the simple things in our life. He cares about the things that we care about. He loves us and cares for us. John Owen says, we are never nearer to Christ than we find ourselves lost in a holy amazement at his unspeakable love. The gospel is simply this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared to believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared hope for. The gospel is not something that pretends that you're perfect or pretends that you're as good as you want to be. The gospel is really clear with us. We're all sinful, broken people. That's why we need a Savior. But our Savior is not one that comes and says, I'm only going to love you when you're good. I'm only going to love you when you're perfect. I'm only going to love you when you're performing. Our Savior says, I know that you're not perfect, and yet I love you anyway. And the gospel leads us to understanding the love of God. So may we be a people who stops putting our worth in what we can do. May we stop finding our acceptance in our abilities, because so often our abilities will fail us. May we stop saying that I am only worth people's approval, and may we understand that the God of the universe loves us. May we stop waffling on the love and care for God, and may we embrace that the very same Creator who created the stars and the universe knows our name, and He cares for us. Who am I to be loved by you? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we are just so grateful and thankful for your love. We're so thankful that you care for us. And God, what a simple reminder that we are imperfect. Yes, we are flawed. Yes, we've made mistakes, but yet the God of the universe, you care for us deeply. So I ask God that you would help us to live in that truth, that we would find our identity in you. We thank you that you sent your son to die for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.